From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. 2 hours away, roughly, from the path of totality being right here in Rochester, the Finger Lakes, Western New York. And we remain hopeful. I'm looking out at an overcast sky. I don't know where you are, where you're listening to our voice right now, but maybe you're seeing gray skies. Maybe you're seeing little breaks. Maybe you're starting to see it thin out just a little bit here. We know that at 1:06 p.m., the farther west you go, the better your chances. If you're all the way over in Ohio, things are gorgeous. If you are in Western New York, Erie, Pennsylvania, all the way to Buffalo, it's getting thinner and better and a little bit more free looks into the sky. Here in Rochester, still cloudy. But we've got a little bit of time left here. And what we are hoping is to get some breaks, to get a little bit of lifting, a little bit higher clouds, and at least a chance to see some sun through the clouds or maybe some breaks and see the sky itself. This hour, it's a chance to continue to have this experience together, and we're glad you're listening. And we're also going to be talking to some eclipse chasers. In fact, we're starting the hour with a conversation with some people who are in different parts of the country, some of them right here. Jeremy Goldman is with us in Rochester, as is Valerie Wald. And Jeremy and Valerie are, I think they were in Wyoming in 2017, but they are in Rochester now. Jeremy and Valerie, can you hear us? Way there, guys? Let's see if we can get them queued up here. Oh, there they are. I'm starting to hear you.
They are here.
There you are. Hey, Jeremy, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. So yes, we were in Wyoming in 2017, although I have to admit that that was kind of a coincidence.
That was not an instance of chasing an eclipse. Oh. That was serendipitous, dumb luck.
What happened?
But so I had wanted to visit the Grand Tetons National Park and Yellowstone National Park for years, and that just happened, that date just happened to be the date that worked out for me. And then once we had already, I had booked the plane, the car, the hotels year in advance, and then it turned out, oh hey, there's the eclipse there, which I once I found out about, I was thrilled, and we tweaked our plans a little bit so that we had maximum eclipse experience. But I do have to say that it was because of that eclipse that we're here in Rochester in 2024, because that experience was so amazing that my wife said, hey, you've got friends in Rochester. We have to go to the Rochester in 2024 for the next eclipse.
Can I ask both of you then, you know, as we sit here hoping that these clouds will break up a little bit, and you know how good it was this weekend, and we were all feeling that concern because the weekend would have been perfect conditions. Do you have any regrets, or are you still feeling good about what's going on?
Well, something that I was saying is that when we were in Wyoming, it was perfectly clear skies and gorgeous mountains, and we had that experience. And I kept saying to my husband, well, we haven't yet seen a total eclipse in cloudiness. That's new.
Well, that's a very optimistic way of looking at it, Valerie. I like that.
And also we are visiting friends. So even if we don't see the perfect eclipse experience, we did get the experience of visiting with our friends and being with other people who are also looking at the sky and hoping for clear skies.
So when did you get into town?
Something. We got into town on Sunday night.
Okay, they're making you vacuum there, it sounds like?
blower on a roof, it appears.
Jeremy and Valerie are two of an estimated 250,000 to 500,000 people. And I want to reiterate a point that kind of came up last hour. It's not that 500,000 people are supposed to be in downtown Rochester today. It's that this region, and that's the Rochester Finger Lakes region, all the way from Ithaca to Rochester, halfway to Buffalo, halfway to Syracuse. That's, you know, it's several hundred thousand people. That's an estimate. And maybe with these last minute clouds, maybe some of those folks went west or went east. But they're certainly more than typical. And we're going to hear from business owners later this hour about that. But did you have a conversation late last night or this morning thinking, you know, if we leave now, we can get to Cleveland or we could get to Vermont and we can do this and we can get better skies? Did that come up at all?
No.
No.
Not with us, no.
Not with you. Probably with your host is my guess.
Oh, yes, that's true.
I hear your host.
Our hosts were thinking about it.
Let me at least clarify. That conversation came up even if you didn't decide to leave Rochester. Is that correct? Come on.
Don't actually have a car, so we would have a hard time getting anywhere else right now.
Although we had reserved a car, so we had that possibility open, but we didn't have any hotel reservations for Cleveland, and I don't really like driving long distances over unfamiliar territory, so I wasn't really seriously thinking about it, and I do more of the driving than my wife does, so, yeah.
We came up here from New York City, and we don't have a car there, and so we don't typically drive much at all.
No, that's really interesting, because a lot of the traffic that was expected here in the last few days, and I think a lot of the traffic that's come, has come from the New York City area. We have heard in the last hour from some listeners, some out-of-towners who are just putting on NPR in this region, who have called us to say that there is some heavy traffic in some of these arteries that are heading up toward the Rochester area from the southern part of the state. But most of the traffic on 90, from what we're hearing, most of the traffic on the thruway and local expressways is fine. In fact, it's very light in a lot of places because a lot of businesses are closed and people aren't going to work and people aren't going to school. So it's pretty light, and we're going to try to keep an eye on that. But before we let Jeremy and Valerie go, I just want to ask you a little bit more. I think it's a little brighter now, by the way. I'm looking outside. I think it's a little bit brighter. I just want to ask you a little bit about why this is a special thing special enough for you guys to come here. We have talked to our share of skeptics. We've got them here on staff. We've got people who say, what is the big deal? I don't understand why it's going to be life-changing, et cetera. What would you want the skeptics to hear before this thing happens, Jeremy and Valerie?
Well, I think that I was really the big push behind coming to Rochester this year. And I, before having seen the totality of a solar eclipse, it wasn't really on my radar. I really didn't think about it much. But when I saw it, it just was really jaw-dropping, awe-inspiring moment. Looking up into the sky when it was supposed to be daytime, and not only seeing the entire sky dark, but looking where the sun is supposed to be and seeing a black disk with light radiating around the edges was, I don't know why, but it really was just amazing. And it was amazing enough that when I got back to New York, one of the first things I started doing was looking, when's the next one? Where can I see another one?
And Jeremy, how do you feel?
Very similar. The experience of being in the total eclipse, it feels like it triggers something almost primal, where you're saying, this is not normal, this is not every day, or a pretty sunset, or this is just, oh my gosh, the world is totally different. And it was a great experience. And yeah, if this isn't perfect this year, we were looking online to say, okay, when's the next eclipse? And I'm not saying that we're going to go to Iceland in a few years, but we might.
But you're not saying you're not going to go to Iceland, Jeremy.
Exactly.
Luxor, Egypt, Egypt, Egypt. 6 minutes of totality.
6 minutes in Luxor,
Egypt.
Right,
so my wife
Egypt.
Is
wow.
thinking about
Wow, you guys are way. You guys are way. There's Rochesterians who don't know there's eclipse in 2 hours, and you know what goes on in Luxor in like 5 years. That's pretty amazing. Jeremy and Valerie, thank you for making time. I really do hope it's a great experience. You're going to be. It sounds like you've got great seats in the backyard, and it's going to be lovely.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's Jeremy Goldman, Valerie Wald, up here in Rochester, and as you heard, they were in Wyoming in 2017, and they chose Rochester, staying with some friends here. They're a couple of many people staying with friends. What we're going to do now is we're going to talk to a couple of people who are really in the FOMO place. For all of us here in Rochester, the FOMO might be my native Cleveland. And I want to bring in someone with a same last name just to make us all feel bad. Hello, Colleen Dawson. This is my stepmother. How are you?
Hi, Ev. How are you?
I guess I'm okay. I'm feeling a little FOMO. Do you have sunshine?
We have the most beautiful day we could expect. It's in the 70s and blue skies.
So
and there's no leaves on the trees. So we have, even if you have trees, you can see right through them.
Okay, so it's perfect, in other words.
It's perfect.
And are you staying home?
What we're going to do is my mom, who you know, is 95 years old, and she lives about 20 minutes away. we're going to drive over to her house so that we can watch it with her. I just didn't want her to be alone for the special event.
Look, you have everything that we thought we were going to have for the last 48 hours. We had perfect sunshine all weekend here. Did you have a good weekend as well?
Yesterday was perfect. I think the day before we had rain, but yeah, we had a perfect weather. Yesterday was gorgeous.
Well,
yeah,
we just have overcast and it's slightly getting lighter with that. But the reason I wanted to talk to you is just to inject a little optimism, because I would tell our listeners that every time I'm a pessimist about really any event in my life, especially if it has to do with weather or being able to do something that's exciting, my stepmother will always tell me, "You're worrying too much and it's going to be great. It's going to be fine." And you were right this time, which is kind of annoying to me, but it is true.
Well, I think it is going to clear up a little bit for you guys. And you know what? I think even if it's cloudy, it's still going to be a cool experience. I think just the darkness and the animals going crazy and everything else, I think it's going to be a great experience.
Now, is my dad being a grump about it or is he excited about it?
What would you say?
Excited is not a word I would expect for him.
Yeah.
Is there a game involved?
he was neutral about it when I asked him the other day. But I think he's a little bit more excited. You know, most of the people that we know around here are doing things in their neighborhoods, like Ryan, your stepbrothers.
Yeah.
One of the neighbors is having a party. Kyle, their end of their street's all meeting at the Circle. We're going to my mom's. The people who are downtown where all the activity are mostly vacationers, you know, people who have come here just for the event. I wouldn't go near there.
You know, and you know what, Kyle? I think that just based on what has happened with the last 12 to 24 hours of weather, my guess is these last-minute chasers are making their way into Cleveland right now. So it's probably going to be packed, I would think.
Yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right.
All right.
Yes.
Let me let you guys get going, because I know you've got this busy day planned. And thank you for coming on the radio.
I hope my magic works for you, and I hope you get good weather at the last minute. The skies clear up.
You're always right. Thank you, Kyle.
Okay, bye.
That's Colleen Dawson, my stepmother, in Cleveland, where it's pretty much perfect. And I want to talk to somebody else who's more of an eclipse chaser today, and that is someone who lives in the Columbus area, but Columbus is kind of where Penyan is, and by that I mean right on the edge of totality, depending on what part of town you live in. So Aaron Vasichek is a Rochester native living in Columbus who is headed up to Cleveland today. Hey, Aaron.
Hey, I'm actually in Sandusky, to be perfectly clear.
Oh, you're already over in Sandusky. So what is that, an hour, hour and a half west of Cleveland?
Yeah.
Okay, but that's totality.
Yes, it's like almost exactly in the line. That's why we picked this spot, is that we looked at the map and tried to find a place that was in the perfect line of totality, and that's where we are. And I actually have two of my friends here from Knoxville, too.
Wow. And what is your weather like there?
It's pretty much perfect. Like, there's wisps of clouds in the sky, but it looks like it's going to be pretty good.
Ugh.
We were nervous. We were nervous for the week coming up to this, but it seems to be holding out.
Now, was this the location no matter what? Did you think about Rochester? Did you think about Cleveland? Was it always going to be Western, Northwest Ohio?
If our friends hadn't come up, we probably would have just stayed in Columbus and dealt with the, like, you know, 99% totality or whatever. But since they were coming, yeah, we booked this place 6 months ago. So we...
6 months ago. But Aaron, I mean, like, 99% totality, I hate to be this guy, but like, I've been told that 99% is like, you know, it's like 1% compared to totality. It's not the same.
So I've experienced partials before, and I still think they're really cool because you still get to see the fun shadows and shapes and the weird things. So I still think partials are cool.
All right. Well, for our listeners who are maybe in the Southern Finger Lakes or just outside of that range, there's an endorsement that, you know, at least the partial should be cool. Although I hope that we get some clear skies, because it's going to be a lot less cool if you can't see the sun with it. So so we're
correct.
Hopeful there. Yeah. hey, before I let you go, when did you say that you actually did the traveling? Is there any issue with travel for you guys today?
No, so we traveled up yesterday afternoon, and it was fine, and we're not leaving till tomorrow. We purposely planned that to avoid any crazy traffic.
And what's the actual location you're going to be in for the moments of totality?
Yeah,
we haven't decided yet. We're currently walking around Sandusky, deciding if we want to find a park to chill out in or if we're just going to go back to our Airbnb, because, I mean, as long as we can see it, doesn't really matter, but I made Eclipse cookies and cocktail and a charcuterie, so we're ready to go.
Oh boy, you guys are in such a good place. Again, this is the FOMO part of the program for those connections listeners in Western New York who want the perfect skies. That's why we called Ohio. But at this point, we're going to let Aaron go because it's too painful. Aaron, have a great day there. Enjoy it.
Thank you.
Aaron Vasichek's a Rochester native, lives in Columbus, and if you look at the map, Columbus is, you know, essentially right on the edge, but not fully in totality. So they're up in Northwest Ohio, right in the path of totality, and they are bathed in sunshine. But I'm going to keep saying that I think the skies, as I look out in Rochester and look west, I think they're lightening up a little. Do you even have a window in that booth? You don't have a window. Miles and Megan can't help me. I think it's getting a little lighter. And I think that we're getting at least a little lifting of the clouds higher in the atmosphere. So when totality comes, or when the eclipse starts at 2:07, maybe we'll have a better chance here. Let me read an email from Charlie. Charlie says, some anecdotal info. He says, my wife and I were in Corning for two nights this weekend. I counted cars from seven different states: Delaware, New Jersey, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, Connecticut, Virginia, Maryland. I only spoke with two people, and both were here for the eclipse. As of a half hour ago, the thruway was clear as I drove over it. That's from Charlie. Yeah, Charlie, that's a cool piece of info. I mean, there's no doubt that there are eclipse chasers in our region. The question is, did they decide to stay, or did they book it east, northeast, or west, given some of this forecast? One person who can help us with that is Kelly Walker, WEOS Morning Edition host, and just an institution in Geneva. And joining us down at Seneca Lake State Park, is that where you're going to be today, or is that where you are right now, Kel?
I am on the west end of the city park, so I can see down into the state park, which is where I think a lot of the folks from out of town were probably directed to go. This was about as close as I could get leaving campus when I did. I took a quick spin through campus on my way over here.
And what is it like in Geneva today?
Well, you know, there's definitely people out. I mean, I would not describe it as crowded. Folks are picnicking. They seem to have plenty of elbow room. It's a really pleasant family atmosphere. I'm over here by a Geneva playground, and just everybody seems to be having a nice time. It's cool. It's not quite warm. And unfortunately, it is cloudy. I'm looking straight up at where the sun is right now, and it's just a bright point in the clouds. And I'm sorry to say that in my call this morning with our Finger Lakes weather meteorologist, Drew Montrill, he's not optimistic about this clearing for us all that much.
Well, my stepmother is always right, and she says it's going to clear for us, although she's not a meteorologist.
I may have her call in then in the future when we need good news.
Yeah, boy, they're over there in Cleveland just feeling great about themselves, and we've got this cloud deck that's just slowly, slowly pushing and lifting. It's going to be really tough if it gets like really clear by like 5 p.m. today. But we're still hopeful. Now, Kelly, it could also be snowing or pouring rain today, too. I mean, it's a pretty good weather day for April 8th. It's just not as clear as we want it. What are some of the things happening in Geneva for people today?
I think the biggest thing that's going on is a lot of businesses have closed. The schools have closed, of course. The campus is closed at least for a few hours to let everybody get outside. Geneva's really taking advantage of its beautiful relationship to Seneca Lake. The lake is largely all park, so there's plenty of room for people. There are plenty of opportunities to get out. And some of the neighborhood associations have also put together family-friendly events where they've put together games and lots of things for kids to do. And I mean, it really does feel a little bit like a summer festival just transplanted to a cool spring day.
And Kelly, I'm thinking about this traffic that's coming into our region and where people would choose to go. And if you're just looking at a map and you're in the New York City area, Geneva is a great idea because Geneva is kind of just into totality, right? So you guys are in totality,
yeah.
But I think what, a third of the way or halfway down Seneca Lake, you're not? Is that roughly correct?
That's exactly right. A very good friend of mine lives right next to Sampson State Park. And he was planning to watch it pretty much from his lake shore on the east side of the lake. They've had to change those plans and move further north because they were moving slightly out of totality. The other thing I would say about people who are still making a decision, I have been very surprised that the traffic problems that everybody's been concerned about, because we are a very small town, we're used to tourist traffic, but not all at once. But the traffic problems that have been predicted really don't seem to be the case. More cars than usual on the roads, but everybody seems to be moving along at a good pace. And so far, everybody seems patient. I cross streets and people were gracious enough to let me cross.
that's good to hear. Of course, that could change in the next 60 to 90 minutes. But that's essentially the case here in downtown Rochester. My guess is there are a lot of people in the region, but, you know, they're not going to work. They're not going to school. They're probably laying low until the early to mid-afternoon here. So it's going to start to pick up. But for now, it hasn't been an issue. Who knows about getting out of town. But before I let you go, before I let you go, Kelly, there's a couple things that kind of come to mind. In a moment, we're going to talk to people in, who have businesses in our region. And one of the people that I heard from this morning is the co-owner of Herman J. Weimer Vineyard. It's Marisa Merworth, who told me that that she ran their reports from the weekend, and she believes they saw as much traffic at the winery this weekend as they would see on a really, really good fall weekend. That is one of the biggest weekends of the year. So they saw a bunch, just a nice spike for sure there. And that's got to be out-of-town traffic that's coming in for this weekend. My guess is also Airbnbs, hotels, bookings in Geneva and in the area have probably been booked up for a long time. What are you seeing?
Well, that's exactly what I'm hearing. I, in fact, passed by a very good friend of mine, Beth Haswell, from Stomping Grounds, a local used bookstore. She did close this afternoon so that she could get out with her family and enjoy it, but she was packed today. So there's a lot of retail traffic downtown. I ran into one of the managers from Kindred Fair over the weekend. She said their reservations were pretty much booked starting on Friday and all the way through today. And of course, I don't think you can get an Airbnb or a hotel room locally. I haven't checked the hotels, but everybody I know that's associated with Airbnbs has been booked for some time. It's definitely brought a lot of folks in.
Well, I appreciate it as always, Kelly Walker. Thank you for making time. Enjoy it however it goes today, but we're all crossing fingers that it lifts a little bit and we get some clearing in that sky.
Yeah, we'll hope for the best. Thanks, Evan. I really do appreciate it.
Kelly Walker, WEOS Morning Edition host. And if you listen to WEOS, you hear Kelly's voice all over your radio. We're so grateful to have this partnership, Broadcasting Connections on WEOS, Finger Lakes Public Radio 89.5 FM, and wherever your apps are sold, and that should be free. I want to bring in another person who can kind of fill us in on what they have been seeing, and that's Art Rogers, the owner of Lento, a restaurant that has been open in Rochester since 2007. Art, welcome back to the program. How are you, sir?
Hey, Evan. I'm good. How are you?
Good. You know, you've always been an even keel kind of guy to me. You don't seem to get too high or too low. How does the eclipse strike you, first of all?
The actual eclipse?
Yeah, the eclipse, not the business, not the business. Yeah, not the business around the eclipse itself.
Well, I didn't like all the hype about it, I'm not going to lie, but that's just me.
How did I guess?
But yeah, I'm excited to see the eclipse. I mean, everyone that's been on talking about it, it sounds like it's a once-in-a-lifetime, life-changing experience.
Well, I want to talk about what you've seen for the last few days. You just heard Kelly Walker say that down in Geneva, a lot more bookings, a lot more regional traffic over the last 48 hours. I mentioned that one of the co-owners of Herman J. Weimer Winery, one of the flagship wineries in the region, she said it was like a packed fall weekend at the winery, which, you know, April, there a lot of places are packed, but it was especially bumping. What about what you saw at Lento? Can you describe what the last 48 hours have been like and what you think maybe today will be like?
Sure. Well, I'll go in reverse here. Today will be very nice and even keeled because we're closed. I want to give my staff the
You decided day off decided to stay closed.
Clips. Yeah, you know, it's a nice thing to give the staff the day off to enjoy this thing. It's I didn't want to because we were open yesterday and we're normally closed on Saturday. You gotta rein it in somewhat.
You're normally closed Sunday, you mean?
And Monday.
Oh, Sunday and Monday. Yes. Okay. Right.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So I was toying with opening today, but I want to give the staff the day off. And then, you know, as more information came in, it was everyone hits the road, which I wasn't aware of. And it didn't seem worth it to be open on a Monday. just to sort of gamble with having like a super busy night. Last night, however, was super busy. And like you said, we're normally closed on Sundays, not quite a Valentine's Day, but definitely busier than New Year's Eve. So if that puts any perspective.
Wow.
Into how busy we were. Yeah. Yeah. So it was a good night. It was really busy. I'm in the kitchen. But you know what? I do take a lot of reservations, and the majority of the reservations for last night were not 585 area codes.
Oh, that's very interesting. On a typical night, what percent would be a 585 area code reservation?
Well, 585, 315, 607, 716, so 100%.
A typical night might be literally
99%.
99 to 100%. Okay. And last night, it might have been those area codes might have made up for what's your best guess?
25%.
25%.
Yeah. Wow. So we definitely had people from out of town, and I'm assuming it's because of the eclipse.
Yeah. I mean, unless there's something else that you and I don't know about, Art, I think that's it.
I don't know.
How did your staff feel about, number one, working yesterday when you're normally closed, but then the decision not to open for today?
Well, they were very happy to not work today because most of them, are younger than myself. I'm about your age, and they have all sorts of fun parties and things planned. So they don't have to worry about getting that over with and then having to come to work or vice versa. So that was a nice thing. Well, anyone that works hourly or works for tips was happy to work yesterday. And the handful of us that are on salary were, somewhat cranky to have to work on a Sunday, but it was definitely worth it.
Lastly, Art, before I let you go here, I know you said you haven't necessarily loved all the hype for this thing, and it's impossible to know just how much out-of-town traffic comes in for an event like this because we've never had it before, and we're probably never going to have this again in my lifetime. So do you get the sense that this has been the boost that was promised to the business community? I mean, how would you kind of evaluate it so far?
Well, let's see. I mean, that Sunday speaks for itself. We definitely would not have had that business if the eclipse wasn't going on. Saturday, the day before, was a very busy Saturday, but it wasn't much better than a typical Saturday. So that makes me think people just sort of rolled in here Sunday. They're going to watch it this afternoon, and they're going to take off. The only thing I have to compare it to, and I know this isn't comparing apples to apples, was the PGA. I don't know if that was last summer.
Yeah, it was last summer. Yep.
I definitely saw a lot more traffic from that, and like traffic in the restaurant and actual like traffic, 495-90, because I do run a lot of errands. I didn't see any of that traffic. I was out running errands this morning, and it was there's nobody around.
Isn't it? It was so weird this morning, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, the Village Gate here, normally the alley where we park is packed, and I think my car is the only car back there right now. I'm not working all day. I'm going to leave here shortly to go watch the eclipse, just so.
Where are you going to go?
Well, I'm just going to watch it with my family in our backyard. We're going to set up the grill and eat watermelon, eat hot dogs, and watch it in the backyard of our little city house here.
Well, have fun, sir. Thank you for making time, and it's nice to hear that Lento was jumping last night, and hopefully a lot of your colleagues across the region had that little bit of a boost that they were looking for.
I hope so.
Thank you, Art.
All right, thanks, Evan.
That is Rochester's only James Beard nominated chef, Art Rogers of Lento. I want to emphasize the point he just made because I think it was wild that on a typical day of reservations at Lento, 99 to 100% come from 585-607-716 or 315 area codes, our region. 99 to 100% is typical. Last night, a night they're not typically open, it was more busy than New Year's Eve, and only a quarter of the reservations were local, 75% out of town. That is a big endorsement of a business effect. So maybe I'll share that with my colleague Gino Finelli and see if I can slowly turn his ship away from the eclipse skepticism. But That's a small data point. We need more data. And let's take this only break. We're going to come back. Listeners, if you've got anything you need to share with us before we get to 2 o'clock, now's the time to do it. If you want to send us a note on traffic that you're seeing, or if you're optimistic about the skies that you're seeing, I want to emphasize again, meteorologists, including our meteorologist for WXXI, Josh Nichols, tells us that if you are east of Rochester, your chances of seeing a good look at the sun are not very high. If you're right in Rochester, right here in Monroe County, you're going to have to get lucky. It could, you know, you could have a kind of a mixed view through the clouds. Farther west you go toward Buffalo or beyond, you got a much better chance of not only seeing more sun, but seeing clear sun. So it's a go west ball game for the rest of the day, and we'll see. And then hopefully some of us will get lucky. Let's take this only break. We'll come right back on Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Tuesday on the next Connections, we're going to bring the community together to talk about what we experienced on Monday. How was the eclipse from your perspective, your backyard, the hill you drove up to, or wherever you had a chance to experience it from? We'll discuss the eclipse. And then in our second hour, the DNC, the Democrat and Chronicle writers, still on strike. We're talking about their situation with Gannett. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. If you've been preparing for this eclipse and kind of soaking up the coverage, you might have heard some description of what it is like for animals. The Seneca Park Zoo has an event until 4 p.m. today. We heard earlier this hour from some folks who are going to be at the zoo, or actually last hour. And, you know, the animals there, wild animals, they'll have their own experience when the sun is gone in the middle of the day. But there's a little bit of a different feel to it for house pets. And somebody who is always thinking about that is my colleague Beth Adams from WXXI. Had a chance to talk to her just this morning about this issue that anyone who's got cats, dogs, or other house pets should be thinking about.
Hello, Evan Dawson. It's an exciting day.
I am not surprised, of all people, that you are thinking about animals. You've got a great heart for our pets. And, you know, the piece that I was just reading and the audio piece and the work that you've done indicates that for our pets, it's not a one-size-fits-all, but we should be thinking especially about anxious or nervous pets first. What do you think?
That's right. Yeah, I spoke to an animal behaviorist, and she said the only concern she has during the eclipse with our pets is for pets who have a real severe phobia around thunderstorms. We've all known, you know, dogs and cats or other animals that get really nervous when a storm is approaching, and she's thinking that maybe some of these animals will think the darkening sky, that gloomy sky, will make them think a storm is on the way. It should be over quickly, relatively quickly, obviously. But she said it's a good idea to leave those pets at home. You don't want to bring them out to some venue or some location where you're trying to observe the eclipse and then have to deal with their nervousness. And you don't want to put your pet through that either.
Generally speaking, because this is, as you say, a short duration event, it just strikes me that if your pet can take a nap in the middle of the afternoon, it's probably a good thing today, right?
Yeah, I really don't think it's going to register with them that all that much is going on. We don't have to worry about them like gaping at the sun and damaging their eyes. They probably have more common sense than some humans do, more common sense than I do, certainly. So that's not a concern. And I think a lot of people bring their animals to festivals and stuff, and they think, you know, it's fun for them. It might be fun for my dog. I don't really think it is. I think they're better off. You know, they like predictability. They like stability. They like routine. Not being around a bunch of people that are maybe getting excited and shouting and things.
Yeah, even as you noted in your piece, even the way we react when we are heading out to observe the eclipse, even if you're just going to your backyard, if you're running around the house all kind of fired up, the animal might think something's going on, and then all of a sudden something disorienting happens, right?
Yeah. It can just kind of set them off a little bit, make them a little nervous. So I'm going to leave my cats at home at around 3:20. That's normally their dinner time. They're probably going to be wondering, what is she doing standing out in the front yard, not in here feeding me? That's going to be the only thing going through their minds.
3:20 is dinner time? Are they Floridian cats?
They're cats of a woman who hosts a morning show and gets up 12 hours earlier.
Yes,
so,
indeed. They're on a different clock. You know, lastly, when you talk about structure, I even felt driving in to work today, it was eerie because, you know, we hear there's 300 to 500,000 people in the region, not necessarily Rochester proper, but in the region, additional. And yet I'm looking around and it's almost like it's a holiday today. I mean, everything's closed.
Yep.
The garage was totally empty. The High Falls garage was totally empty this morning. Now, that's going to fill up. Things are happening over at the ball field. They're happening all over downtown. It's going to fill up. But I felt an eerie sense of this disquieting feeling that something was off. And that's the universe's way of kind of messing with us, too. So if we feel that, our pets can feel that.
Oh,
and we should just
yeah.
be mindful of them.
And right? they totally, you've had cats, Evan,
Absolutely.
Right? They totally cue into our emotions. And even if we're not, saying something out loud, we're thinking it. I think they can pick up on that. If we're nervous, they're nervous. If we're excited, they're excited.
Now, cats, a little more aloof is the wrong word. I think a little more resilient or just interested in their own space.
Circumspect.
Circumspect. I like that. Dogs, to me, especially if you have a social dog,
yeah,
keys in very, very acutely to what you're feeling. So
yeah.
that's what I'm mindful of. I mean, your cats, I'm not worried about. They're independent. They're going to be fine.
Yeah, they'll be fine. I don't think they're even, if they wake up, I'll be surprised. Just, where's dinner, Mom?
Where's dinner, indeed. Thank you, Beth. Thanks for thinking about the animals.
Well, thank you, Evan, and happy eclipse.
Happy eclipse.
That's Beth Adams, our WXXI colleague and Morning Edition host. I'm Evan Dawson from our WXXI studios. We're here with the whole team today, and Miles, Megan Mack behind the glass. We're on until, of course, 2 o'clock, as Connections goes, every weekday afternoon, but a special edition of Connections starting at 3 p.m. going to 4 p.m. this afternoon. And I know that's kind of weird, a little unusual, but we're going to be here together. And if you want to be part of it with us in that way, for any reason, we're here with you. I'm looking out across at Innovative Field, where there is definitely traffic picking up. I see people in the ballpark. There's people, I think they're letting some people down in the field. The suites are all filled up, and their event is going strong. I see that in the Dallas, Texas area, the eclipse has started there. They're starting before we are. So the path of totality is starting down Mexico into Texas and then heading our way. And they are starting to see that blocking of the sun there. So ours starts at 2:07 Dallas, Texas. It's already started down there. I want to bring in Scott Feibusch, our WXXI anchor, reporter, colleague, member of the Rochester Eclipse Task Force, and the publisher of the What to Expect When You're Expecting an Eclipse series with us. Hello, Scott Feibusch.
Hello, Evan Dawson.
Boy, Scott, it's hard to talk to my family in Ohio, because we all wanted that for us. But we're going to have an experience nonetheless right here, and I want to ask you how you're feeling right now.
Boy, is it ever a mixed mood right now. You work for years, you plan for years, and it's, you don't know what's going to happen. This is the reality of the weather here, right? It could also break yet at some point in the next 90 minutes, and we could still get something of a show. I was looking back at the pictures that I took when I went to Kentucky in 2017, and there were clouds for a lot of that day, too. And that's not the part that I remembered until I went back and looked at the pictures, because when the time came, things dried out, the clouds cleared up, we got to see exactly what we had come there to see. So I'm not giving up yet. We've got friends and family and strangers who have traveled here and are all over my house right now. Getting ready for this. So, it's going to be what it's going to be. We have, there is so much for us to be proud of as a community for everything that we have put on with the RPO concert last night and the festivals that have gone on. There's a Noelle Evans just messaged. There's a large crowd already at RMSC. So, we're still giving the world a show, and we've gotten to show them what Rochester is like. And, hey, there's North Dakota in 2044 and Florida in 2045, too.
I'm sorry, when's North Dakota when?
So North Dakota, a little bit of Montana, and up into Alberta in 2045 is the next one that hits the continental U.S. and then some much better opportunities, Florida and the Gulf Coast in 2045 and 2052.
Hey, one of our guests told us about going to Luxor. I think that you know these people who might be going to Luxor, Egypt for a 6-minute totality in the next few years.
Who do you think put that idea in their heads? I've got my Eclipse Atlas ready. and that's the fun thing. This is what makes this kind of super unusual for me, is that if this were anywhere but my hometown, you know, I would be on the road right now, and I would probably have driven maybe to my in-laws in Indiana, but I just got word from a friend there that apparently they're getting some cloud cover there. You know, I might have changed course and gone up to my cousin's place in Saranac, and I don't know if he's getting clear weather or not. This one is unusual, and it's special because it's here. And we're all going to have so much of that experience still, you know, in about 90 minutes. Everything that we've been talking about will still happen. It is not, you know, this could have been worse. This could have been heavy pouring rain where you don't even want to be outside.
See, that's the thing. Yes. I mean, Scott's point, I know some people are bummed, and I have felt it too. I felt the word I used this morning was kind of a wistfulness or a melancholy, because the weekend was perfect and everybody knew it, and everybody knew that if we had been in that window, we would have been the center of the actual universe and we would have showed off even more. And I get it. And we're not going to have that, and that's the reality. But we could have snow today. We could have the hardest rainstorm you can imagine. It could be much worse than today. It could be 30 degrees today. So there's a lot to be thankful for, and I'm glad Scott brought that up. And I want to ask Scott to put on his hat, his what to expect when you're expecting an eclipse hat, and talk a little bit about how to expect an eclipse when there is some cloud cover. You know, that doesn't necessarily mean that there is no experience to have. Can you take us through that, Scott?
Absolutely. So, you know, there are some things that we cannot see right now. I'm sitting out here on my deck in Brighton. I've got my camera pointed up at where the sun would be and should be, and I can't see any of the sun's disk right now. So what we are not going to see right away, you're not going to be able to look up with your eclipse glasses or binoculars and start seeing that bite come out of the sun. Can I let you in on a little secret, Adam?
Yeah.
That's not the most exciting part anyway. We get partial eclipses here every few years. You'll be able to see all that anyway. So you're going to miss out on that. What you will still get to experience as we get right towards those moments of totality, so 318, 319, you are still going to feel all of the other sensations around you. It is going to still get dark in a way that is nothing like the way it gets dark at dusk, because it doesn't happen gradually. It's still going to happen all at once. You're going to get that sensation. You're going to feel the changes in temperature. You're going to feel the changes in sound around you. The animals are still going to react. I did a podcast last weekend or two weekends ago with the nice folks from the birdhouse, and had to admit to them that I don't know anything about birds, but I know they're going to react somehow. That is beyond my area of expertise. So you'll get all of that. Typically, the clouds, if they're going to clear at all, are going to do that during totality. So be watching where that sun will be, and we could still get some breaks. These fronts are still moving, and we could still get some breaks where you will still get to see some of the corona. We could still get to see Bailey's beads, but we're still going to have a lot of that experience, and it is still going to be the only time in any of our lifetimes that we'll be able to say that we experienced that right at home without going anywhere. I'm going to be able to travel, I hope, to other places and be in Luxor and wherever else. Australia has a good run of them coming in the 2030s that I'd love to get to for one of those. But, you know, the experience of being in your own place, you have to take the weather with that too. It is what it is.
When's the Luxor one? This isn't amazing how much time we're talking about Egypt and their next eclipse on this show. But hey, you've created maybe a legion of eclipse chasers, Scott Feibusch. So put that on someone's calendar.
So the next ones that are coming up, the very next total solar eclipse happens in 2026 in February, I believe. And it goes over Iceland, and there are cruises that you could take off the coast of Iceland.
Yeah,
I know some people who are going to be on some of those. And then it goes across Spain. There are going to be people who are hanging out on Mallorca, experiencing it over Spain right at sunset. That'll be pretty cool. And then that one over Egypt in 2027, it's going to be in August. So I think we can safely say that the skies are not going to look like they do here in Rochester in August of 2027 in Luxor, Egypt, and it's going to be 6.5 minutes of totality, which is the most in something like 200 years that any of us ever get the chance to experience. And you know people will be flocking to that. And yeah, then after that, a bunch in Australia. There's one that hits Alaska in 2033. And then you wait 20 years, it starts coming back to North America again, and the cycle continues.
Let me read an email from Richard, who says, I'm wondering about the skeptics.
Are they honestly innocent in their skepticism and willing to see what happens? Or is their personal identity entangled in skepticism so they will purposely refuse any sense of awe they might actually feel? That's from Richard. Oh, Scott, you've met your share of skeptics. What do you think?
So I had the pleasure on Saturday of emceeing the Rock the Eclipse events over at RMSC, and it was fantastic. There were a ton of locals there, people who were already coming in early from out of town. And I had the chance to talk to Dr. Phil Plate, who is, you may know him as the Bad Astronomer online. He writes for Scientific American. He's written for Bill Nye. And I said, what do you make of these cynics and these skeptics? Because he deals with them, too. And he said, they can stick their heads in the sand, and today they can pretty much just do it literally if they want. I'm going to focus on the people who are willing to open their minds to this experience. And, yeah, I mean, one thing I point out is that it is very rare to see anybody who has actually experienced a total solar eclipse looking back on it and saying, yeah, I could have taken it or left it. It was nothing. There are people who will say, honestly, yeah, I experienced it, and that's just not the exact kind of thing that moves me in this world, but I'm glad I got to see it, and that's okay. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But, yeah, I mean, the people who are just kind of built in, I love that email. That's such a great way of putting it, that it becomes like part of your identity. I think it becomes part of Rochesterians' identity sometimes to be skeptical and cynical about where we are. But you know what? There are all of these people all over this community, starting from Deb Ross and Dan Schneiderman and all the way through everybody's been working with them for years on this task force, who are out here trying to build something good in this community and welcome people. And those are the people I want to think about and hang around with this afternoon, because those are the people who are still having a good time today and reminding the rest of us to still have a good time today. And so I'm going to put my natural cynicism aside and say, we're going to get what we're going to get out of this. And it's going to be an experience. And it's something that we're still all going to remember one way or the other.
Scott, before I let you go, I just want to emphasize some of the things we've heard for these 2 hours as listeners have been sharing with us their experiences. Charlie emailed to say that he was down in Corning for a couple of nights this weekend and counted plates from Delaware, New Jersey, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, Connecticut, Virginia, Maryland. Art Rogers of Lento said that his restaurants usually close on Sundays and they opened last night. And on a typical night, Lento will have reservations from 4 zip codes. The Rochester zip code 585 and then 716, 315, and 607. He said 99 to 100% of the bookings come from those. Last night, he said they were more full than New Year's Eve and only 25% were local bookings. Clearly, a chunk of the world has come here, even though it feels strange because the roads have been empty. People, I think that's mostly because schools and businesses have been closed partially or fully. And so there's going to be a lot lighter traffic earlier in the day. But I don't think that you could say that there hasn't been a positive and strong influx. I mean, we've heard that from a number of people these 2 hours.
Oh, yeah. And I'll give you a couple other data points here. They were doing an eclipse-themed menu at Atlas Eats up in Irondequoit for the last 2 weekends, and I booked it early. I'm glad I did, because when they called back, confirmed my reservation, I said, how busy are you? They said, we have never had something that people are more excited about. We have 170 people on the waiting list. And you know the size of that dining room there that seats, about 25, 30 people. That's a lot of interest for them. So that's one very, very important tenet. I mean, people are getting excited about this no matter what. And by the way, the sun just kind of tried to poke out here in Brighton.
Once in a while, it looks a little lighter. Once in a while.
It was like this in Kentucky, I'm telling you. And then the other piece, too, to consider is that, at this point, 90 minutes before totality or so in 2017, people were still just trickling into the little town where we were in Marion, Kentucky. So I think you're still going to see more people arriving and moving around. And the other thing to remember about traffic that is so important that we've been reminding people is that people trickle in over the course of a few days. So many people all try to leave at once. And even if the road seemed nice and empty today, that's a good thing because it'll make things go better this afternoon, because you're not going to have regular rush hour traffic at the same time people are trying to clear out and leave town. And hopefully they won't leave town right away. And that whole, take Tuesday too, concept that Deb's been pushing and Rachel Labor-Polvino have been pushing, maybe people will stick around because, you know what, tomorrow the weather's supposed to be spectacular.
Of course. Of course it is. It was great for the last 2 days, and it's great tomorrow. We'll see over the next several hours. Scott Feibusch, thanks for all the work, and I do hope that you can enjoy this. I know it's a little different, but thanks for sticking around and being with us. And we'll talk later today.
I'll be back with you. Looking forward to it.
Scott Feibusch, who has put together his What to Expect When You're Expecting an Eclipse series for WXXI. We appreciate that. And I'm going to close this hour with an email from Diego, who says, Evan, I think I'm most excited about what this means after the eclipse for the general Rochester community. It'll spark conversations about the science of eclipses. From personal experience, he says that, and could ignite wonder about science for the local youth with such a wide reach that all the local universities and colleges can only dream of. I'm on the West Coast now, but I'm tuning into what Rochester is experiencing because I was involved in science outreach during my undergrad there. Diego, that is a lovely thought, and it's a great way to close these 2 hours. And I think you're right. I think you're right. We're not going to have a perfect, totally clear sky, but we are going to have an experience that will be ours. And we're going to do it together. And listeners, if you want to join us from 3 to 4 p.m. for an additional special eclipse version of Connections, we will be there and we'll try to do it as, I think, solemnly and respectfully and go through that experience together if that's what you choose. But whatever the case may be, wherever you are from, wherever you're listening, from Miles and Megan and from me, thanks for listening and let's go experience whatever the universe has for us on this April 8th.